C2PR. Number 26B.
Well, we could go on with text interpretation. We haven't really asked the most important question, namely, what means interpretation? What is the definition of interpretation? I could have put that right at the beginning, and it would have been academically seen right to do it right at the beginning. But I felt, no, I wanted first to have the experience and the examples and then come back to it. Now, I only want to come back to it quickly, because if you take the big dictionaries and look up what interpretation means, well, I have gone through all those definitions with Webster and Oxford Dictionary and the Random House Dictionary and Century Dictionary and what was the other one, the Oxford Dictionary. And you see columns and columns in small print what interpretation means. And if it needs columns and columns, it more or less says that it is a very intricate term, not a very simple one, that there are many meanings to interpretation. And there are actually many meanings. Now, the point why I take up this quickly is that the movement is all against text interpretation. The movement, you see it here and there in a leading article in the journal, they kick us in a very anonymous way, but you know what they want to say, and they say what, and actually want to prove that what I do in the way of text interpretation is way out. And they have only two references in all the published works that could somehow indicate that we should not interpret the textbook. The one they usually quote is from Miscellany, and there is a quote which after all that goes on before says that science and health does not need to be interpreted to those who are earnestly seeking truth. And they quote that. And seen just bluntly in black and white, really, one would feel that it really says we should not interpret science and health, that those who are earnestly seeking truth, they don't need that interpretation. That's a jolly good quote. What can you say against Mrs. Eddy? You can't say very much against Mrs. Eddy, except that in this paragraph we can say it is not written by Mrs. Eddy. It is written by a man called Louis Strang, and he has sent in that article, and it has been reprinted in Miscellany. All right, you still can say it has gone through Mrs. Eddy's finger. If she would have found that it is completely wrong, she certainly would not have taken it into prose work or into Miscellany. So we are not quite cleared. Huh? I still have to contemplate what this is. When one reads the whole article, what has gone on before that statement, one sees that meaning is relational, that you always have to see in which case such a statement is written. And the situation was this, that it speaks all about the popularity that Christian Science has gained now, and that that popularity really threatens to supersede persecution that is not a good development, that Christian Science becomes popular. And so they say, well, really, this is animal magnetism, this popularization. It would be much better if Christian Science still would, under persecution, then they really pull up their socks and really work earnestly. They don't get lax and apathetic about it. And so they could free themselves of the mesmerism of personal pride and self-adulation. And so finally said, well, one should recall the following facts, and should still recall that following facts, that it has, that the textbook has healed multitudes of disease and has revealed God as well nigh countless numbers and facts prove it. Namely, the fact that there were many people who have been healed just by reading Science and Health. They didn't have to have practitioners, they didn't have to have the pride and self-adulation of their teacher and so on. Giving a gentle, humble statement that Science and Health can also be investigated by the seekers without the help of a third person. Well, that's naturally true. That's naturally true. And so we feel now we have to be clear really what we are doing, because this is a very, very strong argument Boston has, and they bring it up and up and up again. Now, I come back to the definition of interpretation. You can use a term and put the meaning into the term we like. But if we take the dictionary, we see that the term has many, that the term interpretation has many interpretations, has many meanings. There are about five important meanings how to use the term interpretation. The one is that it means to explain the unintelligible. So if you say, I interpret the textbook, then you can mean by that, well, you try to make the unintelligible to be intelligible. That would be an interpretation. So to explain the unintelligible, to interpret the hidden meaning of a parable, for instance, to explain a dream, an oracle, an allegory, certain biblical passages, that is one way of what interpretation means. That you have a text that is not clear, that is not intelligible. And so somebody has to come along and has to interpret it so that you understand it, just like a parable. Or, in most cases, the example can be Daniel. In the Old Testament, that term interpretation comes up, especially in Daniel 31 time. And Daniel was really the one who did this, that he took an unintelligible rendering, a dream, or the writing on the wall, or anything like that, and made it intelligible, so that you say, oh, that's what is meant by it. Now, we are not taking the textbook as unintelligible, because we can read it and understand every sentence. So that is not the matter. It's not written in a mysterious language, in mysterious symbols. A second way of defining interpretation is that interpretation is an individual, subjective explanation. The text says, to understand and appreciate in the light of individual belief, judgment or interest. You have something going on, you have something happening, and somebody says, how do you look at that? And the other says, well, I look at that this and this and this way. So he interprets that situation in his subjective individual way. And that we also call interpretation. What is his interpretation of this and this situation? So again, it can also mean a subjective individual explanation. Now, we take the textbook not that way, that we say, what is my individual subjective interpretation? So can you see, we go along with Boston. If really other interpretation is meant, this individual subjective interpretation. Another way of using the term interpretation is what can be called translation. For instance, when we translate what is said in a foreign language into our language, then you are an interpreter. You are a professional interpreter, for instance. And it's called interpretation. He interprets a foreign language into our language so that it becomes understood. Else, if in the foreign... If it were in the foreign language, you couldn't understand it. If somebody interprets it into your own language, you understand it. But that, again, is not what we do with the textbook. We do not interpret that textbook in that way. So that is out too. But it's still interpretation. Then the term is used in the way that it is to interpret by representation. You know that very well. For instance, to apprehend and represent by means of art. Show by illustrative representation. You have a play and you give it to somebody to produce it and he puts his interpretation into that. So every time we look at Hamlet or so, we see another interpretation of Hamlet. According to the man who, what do you call it, regisseur? The producer. So again, that's a way of interpretation which we say, no, that is not what we do with the textbook. We do not give our interpretation of the subject there. Then what on earth do we? And so there is another definition of interpretation, which is very good. Namely, it says, explanation of statements by pointing out the inner relationships or by relating particulars to general principles. Now this is what we do. That's the kind of interpretation we do. We try to explain the statements in the textbook by pointing out the inner relationships, the structure of it, and by relating particulars, by relating single statements to general principles, always to the categories. So, in this way we can say, this is really our way of interpreting the textbook. We are not interpreting the textbook to us. The us is out. There is no individual interpretation. That's just the point that we want to leave out the individual subjective interpretation that we do not want. We say, no, that's what we don't want. What we want is to take the text as it is and relate it to the whole structure. So we interpret the structure of the textbook And we don't take the textbook in the first place as that which we interpret individually for our purpose. We have said that right at the beginning of this week, we must see that there are two stages in the interpretation, or even three stages. The one stage is that principle says, I interpret myself through science. Now, nobody can say, Mrs. Eddy doesn't say that. She says that all over the place. This interpretation of the one principle through science is stated as a text. That we can't deny either. Mrs. Eddy says, I have written that text. The further step is that we begin to see that that text is the text of principle and related to the whole system and structure of that principle. That's our job. Then comes the next step, which says, now what is my individual what is the individual gain that I get out of it? How does it affect me individually? Then that is left to the individual. That is not left to the interpreter, to the text interpreter. What we do together is that we say, now, what is really the structure of this textbook? Let's get the structure of this textbook. Let's get the laws and the orders in that structure, in that textbook. Then we said we take that in and get the tonality of it until it becomes spiritual, so the letter becomes spirit. What happens afterwards? Afterwards happens this, that we have now a new structure of consciousness, so that the divine principle can reveal itself directly to the individual through his structure of consciousness. And therefore each individual gets other visions, other inspirations, other insights according to what he does and what he has to work out. Because that is not in the textbook. Did I make that point very clear? So, if anybody says, well, interpretation is individual, and there are plenty of them who say that, we say, yes, but that's not text interpretation. That's not interpreting the science of the divine principle. Everybody can have his or her inspirations, his and her answers to individual questions. But that is not the purpose of the textbook. The purpose of the textbook is, like in mathematics, first to culture a mathematical mind, a mathematically structured consciousness within us. Then the teacher says, now you have gone through school, now you go out into life, and you will always be able to calculate individually right. All those many calculations which are not in the textbook, you will be able to calculate aright, because I have put into your heart the filter, the system, through which the divine principle always interprets itself. And then we have our individual vision, our individual inspiration, and we get our individual missions, and we do individually what the other one does not need to do. And then we say, well, that has come to me. But it is not so that the divine principle speaks without science to the individual. If we believe that, that's mysticism. That's mysticism. And so the mystics also have those inspirations and have those visions. But they are not science, because they are not put through the system. and therefore they never will work properly. They cannot be taught anymore to the others, and they are not from science. Yes. Is that clear? Because I would like to leave this class very secure in that way, what text interpretation means. Yes, there are quite a few other things that we can talk about, but I think the two last things we can see is most of you have now bought that blue book with the epitomes. And in that book, at the beginning, are a few pages explaining how we arrive at epitomes and how to work with those epitomes. You have only got them, so I don't know what your experience will be with it, but from experience at home, I know one thing, that it is not read. And when it is read, it is not pondered. It seems sometimes for many students to be intellectual, academical, I cannot quite understand it. You know, one has sometimes a feeling one approaches a subject and one is not touched by it. And this is also natural for the human mind. The human mind wants to hear something about how lovely God is and how wonderful man is. And this is all about a subject that is a bit drier at the beginning, showing how one can take a text, what is the process of following the text, then epitomizing it, then afterwards how to work with epitomes and so on. It's an educational method that is shown there. And so I have one big wish. It's a wish. It's no more a desire of God, because God would do that anyway. Even if you don't like it when you read it, try to like it. Sit back and say, I don't like it. This is dry, this is intellectual, this is academical, and so on. Let's go on to something nicer, warmer, gentler, Christian, and so on. But try to withstand that argument. And go over it again slowly, intelligently, until you feel the beauty of it, the bigness of it, the grandeur of it. You will never regret it. Because it gives us the method how we arrived at what we are teaching now. And therefore, it must be something very good if it has helped us to see what we see today. If John Knoll and afterwards I would not have evolved that sense of text interpretation, we will still be there where we were before Dorley showed it. And that was not a satisfactory situation. Just reading the Bible and the textbook, here a sentence, there a sentence, here a sentence, there a sentence, things didn't really click and didn't make sense. Until finally one felt, yes, I do my lessons and I read the Bible and the textbook, but there must be something more than that. Mrs. Eddy must have had a secret which she didn't give away. And perhaps I find those secrets if I collect all what Mrs. Eddy has said and all those notes and so on. It isn't there. I tell you, it isn't there. I have read most of these books, and it isn't there. What is there are isolated statements that were fine and right 100 years ago for an individual. They mostly were notes to an individual, to an individual situation, mostly to a level of thought where she said, okay, I have to translate it right down to where they are. What she left is the textbook. She said, everything is in the textbook. She said, there is nothing I know which is not in the textbook, but we don't believe her because we don't find it in the text. We are not satisfied. I think everybody can say that. I have gone through that period over 20 years and said, what the hell is in that textbook, you know? I can read it and don't find it out. But with text interpretation, we can stay with a textbook for many, many decades and never get really, we never dry out on it. It's always new. It's always more beautiful. Therefore, that method of text interpretation is an angel. It's really a savior. And therefore, try to get to love it, what is written at the beginning of that book. And naturally also, if we look to the next year, where I would like to take the second chapter, it's a long chapter. We will not be able to go through that chapter in the pace as we have been going through prayer. This was only 17 pages and we took a whole week for it. The next chapter is twice as long, so we can't do that in the same way. We must do it quicker. We will be able to do it quicker, much quicker, if one is and has got acquainted with text interpretation. So if you can spend also time the next year on those on the epitomizing of text interpretation, think over your notes you have made this week, so as to get acquainted with it, then next year we would be able to do the following. We would be able to go through the text quicker, we could more quickly see the epitomes and acquaint ourselves with the epitomes, but then we could do what we haven't done this week very much. We could say, now, how are we going to work with these epitomes? How are we going to substantiate them in our lives? How can we perhaps restructure them? How can we see the laws in them? You see, then we can much easier say we have already we have been acquainted with the material, with the tools, and now we can put then much more time into using those tools and say, what piece of art can we do with our tools? So in this way, I would love to see that if we get together again next year, that you have acquainted yourself with text interpretare, text interpretation, but by heavens, not interpolations. Okay, thank you.